Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Last week, a group of advocates held a march in Cobourg on World Homeless Day. They walked from the courthouse on William Street to the county building, hoping to raise awareness about those sleeping in the rough in parks and other public spaces across Northumberland. Notably, 4 days before the march, Northumberland County Warden Bob Crate released a preemptive statement saying the county was finalizing setting up warming rooms. The statement also mentioned getting input from people with lived experience. It also went on to describe other steps the county was taking to help homeless people. In this interview, Jennifer Moore, CAO of Northumberland County, will dig deeper into the statement and what is actually going on when it comes to preparations to address the needs of people who find themselves without shelter. Have a listen. I'm so pleased to have with me today Jennifer Moore, CAO for the County of Northumberland. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Rob.
It seems unusual for the county to send out a press release regarding winter warming rooms in early October. Normally, we don't hear anything about this until it's really cold. Weather arrives in either December or January. So why did the county decide it was important to make a public statement last week?
Well, I think we were aware that there were community members that were expressing concern, and we wanted to make sure that they knew that this is something that we took seriously. We know it's important and a priority for our community, and we're certainly working on it. We're just getting the final details in place, so we don't have all the specifics yet, but it is something that staff are busy working with our partners to make sure that it happens again this year.
The event that took place earlier this week in regards to homelessness, how did you respond to the community day of action?
We didn't make a formal response. We certainly heard what the community members had raised as concerns, and we certainly take all of that input into consideration as we do our planning and develop what our system's responses will be to community needs.
Was there a formal request or a formal application to you to get information?
No, we didn't have any formal interaction with the group. They made their plans, and they certainly visited the site and shared that information, but there wasn't any direct communication.
What is the status of the county's plans at the moment? You said you're working on stuff. Can you be a little more detailed?
We are finalizing the location as well as the service provider. So those conversations are well in hand. So we'll be able to share that information in the coming weeks. And then also the staff do work closely with our community groups to understand what those with lived experience, what needs they have from a warming room. So that information is being gathered as we develop what the plans will be with the service provider and at the location.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this consultation that you're doing with people with lived experience? Is this something new, or is this something you've done before, and what does it involve?
The county staff and our service providers work together. We have different tables that we sit at with the homelessness response group. So that those providers are our eyes and ears. To understand what those needs are and to bring that back through the conversations at those planning tables.
Now, we were aware before that those planning tables do exist. What is different this time in terms of people with lived experience? I did not think that there was anybody with lived experience at those tables. Has that changed?
No, it's a lot of the same groups, but they do work very closely with those with lived experience. And they bring that back to the table in conversations and what they're learning as they provide service and identify needs.
Last year, Transition House partnered with St. Peter's Church. Is that the same type of thing you're investigating right now? What do we know about that?
We'll look at a partnership. Like I said, those details are still being finalized for the exact location and who the partners will be, but it will be a partnership and it'll be developed jointly and that's how it will be rolled out. So once we have all of that finalized and nailed down, then we'll be able to share all of that information. But yes, it will be a partnership with the community.
So will it be similar in the sense that it's Transition House partnering with some other organization, or is, when you say the county, is it the social services department or the county itself that's going to partner? How does that work? Is it the same as before, or is it going to be different this year?
Those details are exactly what we're having those conversations now to get that finalized. You know, we're really not at a point where we can talk about exactly how that will roll out. We want to make sure that we communicate once and we communicate accurately when we do go out to the public so that they know exactly what to expect. And we don't want to get rumors and rumblings out there before everything is finalized, and we don't want to change it once we communicate. So we will share, like I said, we're probably within another few weeks, we'll have all of that ready. But for who delivers, it is not generally the role of the county to be the delivery agent for these types of services. And there's lots of examples where we have agreements with a wide range of community organizations to deliver social services programming throughout the county. We are typically a funder, and then we have service agreements to lay out what the accountabilities will be for those that are directly providing the service.
So it's not just always Transition House does this. It could be any one of a number of agencies that you decide to partner with, and et cetera. Is that correct?
Anytime there's a service, there's a number of ways that we find and select the appropriate partner agency. And depending on what their skills and their services are, what their current status is, their ability to deliver the service, their staffing, all of those things are taken into consideration as we determine who's most appropriate to deliver the service in our community at any given time.
In the press release, you talk about expanded emergency shelter remaining in place. What do you mean by that?
With the social services relief funding, and as well as with some additional national funding that we received, we've been able to have some additional units to what we had previously. So that will continue. And those are the beds that are available in Transition House, as well as the overflow motel rooms. So we're able to maintain those motel rooms in place, as well as the beds at Transition House. So we've had that expansion, and that will remain in place for the foreseeable future.
So how many beds are available then in total with that additional funding? Do you know?
34 individuals at any given time through the emergency shelter system.
Now, I know that Transition House also offers shelter to families and couples. Is that going to continue on as well under this plan?
The Transition House is where we will always direct folks to go if they're in need of shelter or diversion supports. That is the first door that everyone needs to go to. Start with Transition House, and whether you visit them or whether phone them, and then they will help direct that either that individual or family to the right place from there. They are our single point of entry.
I understand that. I guess what I'm asking, though, is out of the 34 beds, are there still beds or accommodation for, let's say, if a family needs an emergency shelter or a couple needs an emergency shelter? When you talk about beds, 34 beds, you know, I know that they talk about having motel rooms where a family could be together or whatever. I'm just wondering how diversified that 34 number is, please.
Yeah, and that's part of what the staff at Transition House assess. What are the needs and what are the most suitable location and accommodation for that individual or their family? So is it appropriate that they be in the shelter, or is it more appropriate that their situation is suited for the overflow motel? And they assess that and determine where the best spot is that they can accommodate.
Now, just to go back over a little something, just so our listeners can understand, what is the Social Services Relief Fund? Can you describe what that is and how you take advantage of it?
So that was temporary funding that was provided by the provincial government through the pandemic. So that was a temporary funding that we had that was in addition to what we normally receive for homelessness response. And it has really helped us to expand some of our programming. It's allowed us to do some things that we wouldn't have been able to do with our regular base homelessness response funding. What it did is we were able to do things like the Northumberland Eats program was launched. It's now been transitioned to the United Way. We were able to do some of the special needs that we had with the cleaning and all of those sorts of things that were specific to COVID. We were able to purchase a property in Campbellford that we are looking at renovating and turning into supportive housing. That'll be ready to go in the coming months. So those were some one-time things that we were able to do with that funding, as well as make sure that we could maintain our system with all the increased demands because of COVID. That will go away in the future. That, like I said, that was one-time COVID-specific special relief funding from the province.
The funding that you're getting now to maintain or keep all these emergency shelter stuff in place, where's that money coming from?
So the county ourselves, we have about $10 million in 2022. We're spending about $10 million in levy dollars. And that's what goes into our housing and homelessness program. So there's a wide range of services that we provide. So that could be capital, like our redevelopment at Elgin Park. It's also the supports for our 344 social housing units that we own and operate. It's rent supplement programs and shelter benefits. It's that whole system. We have incentives to try and incentivize the private sector to do more affordable housing development. So all of that bucket is about $10 million that we're spending out of county dollars. Then we also have about $1.5 million that we get from the province that we need to use specifically to spend on homelessness prevention. And that goes into things like transition house and what the financial supports we provide there, as well as some of our other diversion programs, support workers, and so on. So there's a whole a suite of programs that we develop out of those pots of funding that we get.
All right. I'm a bit confused now because we were talking earlier about expanded emergency shelter remaining in place. And then you said that you had this additional funding to guarantee that we're going to have these 34 beds in place. So where is the funding coming to keep those in place? I mean, you've talked a bit about the budget. You've talked about this social services relief fund. Where does that pot of money come to maintain that shelter space?
So we have the 1.5. So the county contributes. We've got out of our bucket, we've got about $250,000 that goes specifically to homelessness, as well as all of our other programs. We get about $1.5 million from the province that goes into those programs. And then we also we have a new pot of money, and the name of the program, it is federal-based programming. It's called the Reaching Home Initiative. And that is also some funding that we've just recently started receiving that is helping with the expanded shelter capacity. So all of that together is what funds our overall homelessness and housing support system.
That new program you mentioned, the Reaching Home, can you describe what that's for and how much money you got from them?
I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but what it does is it's helping to enhance our shelter program, the capacity for the winter with the additional motel rooms. And it's also helping with our diversion housing support services that we have, and those are administered largely by Transition House. So it's helping with those two components specifically. And it, like I said, it goes into that pot and looks at the whole suite of services along with the levy funding and the provincial funding.
Of the 34 beds that you are offering to the community, how many beds are currently in use, or the last time you received the report, do we know what they're at the moment?
I don't have the current capacity, but I've been consistently advised that there is room available for those that wish to access the shelter.
Back in the summer, when there were concerns raised about people sleeping in parks and public spaces, there was a call to act immediately to address the situation. Can you bring us up to date as to what has happened since then to help unsheltered people in terms of an immediate response?
There certainly has been ongoing discussions. Working with the town of Coburg, a bit better understanding of what services are available, where member municipalities can get involved. I know there were a number of specific questions around facilities, and I think that a lot more needs to be done there to understand those facilities and what the financial impacts are, the operational impacts, and so on, whether they're suited for that. So I think there's ongoing conversations. I think some of the focus as well has been looking a little deeper at affordable housing, knowing that that is certainly a key factor in addressing homelessness. And really, I think we have to look at the focus of where we're at with who's going to fund this. When we look at both the county and our member municipalities, municipal governments get 8 cents on the dollar of taxes, and the implications of solving these challenges really require resources from every level of government. We don't have the financial capacity to be the only ones at the table. So whether it's us or other lower tier municipalities, we still only don't have the resources to do things like even some of it's not within our scope of responsibility. When we look at the healthcare needs, the mental health and addictions challenges that go along with this, when we look at some of the benefits through OW and ODSP and the ability to pay for rents for those that are receiving those types of funding support. So it is, while we can say we're working on it, I think we need a lot of resources from other levels of government, as well as what Coburg and other municipalities can come to the table with to the county.
How often are you meeting with other municipal representatives to address this issue? Are you meeting on a regular basis?
We don't have standing meetings set up. The CAOs group meet every second month, and homelessness is on that agenda very regularly. And that would be myself and all of the lower tier CAOs, because I think that's something else to remember, that all of our member municipalities are facing these challenges, and we often put the focus on Coburg, but really there are people in every municipality that are experiencing homelessness, and the county needs to look at the broader issues. And so the CAOs meet regularly. Social services staff, they do a lot of that meeting through their response tables, and they do meet with the town staff, but more on an issue by issue or ad hoc basis. We don't have ongoing standing meetings.
Are there any talks or proposals that have come up since the summer to maybe address the situation with creating space or warming centers or affordable housing or temporary housing? You hear lots of stuff in the community, people saying, well, this should be done or that should be done. Has anybody come forward to the county or to any of the member municipalities to say, here's a proposal, or, we're in negotiation about this or that? Anything you can share with us?
We have not received any directly. I think where we have the most conversation and interest are perhaps some interest at more the housing construction level. And we will from time to time have folks that are either in the private sector or the nonprofit sector come forward, and we look and evaluate those. And as I mentioned earlier, we have some incentive programs to try and get more affordable housing constructed. So that comes forward from a specifically homelessness response. I'm not aware of anything coming forward that was a concrete proposal that we could look at. I think there's lots of ideas and there's lots of things that are suggested or recommended from other communities, and we need to look at those with some caution. Some are great ideas. Many are from centers much larger than ours, so we need to look at what resources they have and where their partner agencies are available to have supports and resources to physically be there and those sorts of things. So we need to look at all of that, but probably the more frequent proposals that would come forward would be around the actual construction of homes and trying to get that going.
Soon the county will be making its budget deliberations public for the 2023 fiscal year. Can you tell us if there's any plans for new money for year-round permanent space for both warming and cooling?
We have already actually made some of it public during the last few months during our committee meetings. We have already publicly put forward what some of our issue papers would be. And one of the issue papers in social services is proposing an extra $300,000 towards homelessness supports. So when we, I mentioned earlier that we currently use about $250,000 a year of levy dollars specifically for homelessness. This would more than double the local contribution. But really what that would do is that would look at maintaining things like the warming room that has been funded through social services relief fund dollars. And that's where we get into some of what we'll have to come up with from the local property tax base in order to maintain some of the things we were able to roll out during COVID because of the special one-time provincial funding. So that proposal has already been floated out there through a committee meeting. And of course, we'll all wait for the new council to get sworn in and go through the formal budget presentations. And of course, the new council will have an opportunity to make comment on that proposal. But it's already been put forward by staff.
But that's not a permanent center. We're talking about a similar program like we have now, the warming center that we do over the winter months when it gets cold. Am I correct in that?
It would be looking at a similar model to what we've had the last couple of years, yes.
Okay. What about additional money for affordable housing? Is there has anything been rolled out about that?
We have not put money specifically in the budget beyond what our incentive programs are. I think we do have a number of projects that are currently in the works or other projects that we're pursuing to potentially develop in the future. We, of course, have Elgin Park that's under construction, and I do take a drive by to keep an eye on that. Our one building is up out of the ground now, and that's all very exciting. So it's certainly on track for those new units. And we're in the getting close to the design phase for the Ontario Street project. And we know that that's been out there. That's our partnership with Ontario Aboriginal Housing and Habitat for Humanity. So those are two that are in Cobourg. And then some of the other things that we're working on are looking at land acquisition in any community in the county. We don't have a lot of land. So that's, of course, our first priority. We can't really plan a project until we have a place to build it. Seeking land and exploring some options there. Nothing that's quite ready for prime time, but always looking at different opportunities. As well, more recently, the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus has begun early conversations and looking at whether there's a broader Eastern Ontario regional project that we could potentially do to incentivize some rental housing. And we'll see how that goes, but certainly in early talks there to see if we can be part of that. So a few different things that are happening, but all very early on.
Jennifer Moore, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
That was Jennifer Moore, CAO of Northumberland County. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.